Amar Rabbi Abo. I think that's what we're up to.
No.
Bishlam Arisha.
We made it to
Ihachi. Tashema.
Ihachi.
Yeah. So let's just go through a little bit. So Rabbi Abo was responding to the question where we had brought up the case of the ketzios baderach. Ketzios were figs that were on the pathway, and we said even if it's at the side of the field, so then, and also a branch that's leaning over into the pathway, and you find figs underneath it, so then you're allowed to take them. You're allowed to have them. You don't have to assume that the person who owned them is still looking for them or wants them himself. They're considered to be hefker. However, with olives and with caribs, they're usser. So he said, Bish, Lamaresha, according to Abai, it's not a question because they are chashiv. You could claim that the reason why figs are not a problem of gezel is because they're chashiv, and a person who would care about them wouldn't just leave them out there like that. And then the seifa, the question, however, would be for Rava. The seifa, which says that olives and caribs would be usser. Wait a second. I thought Rava said yesh lemidas kona yesh lemidas is good enough. So Amar Rabo Shani Zayas ho v'chazus mochiach alav, because the image or the visual of an olive is clear and obvious who it belongs to. I guess they raise them in a certain way, or they grow them in a certain way. I don't know. People know that it's so and so's olives, and they don't feel the need that they have to go pick them up or anything like that. So that's why it's clear and obviously that it still belongs to him. He doesn't think that he has to do anything more than leave it out there. So the Gemara says, wait a second, Iha chafil reisha nami. If that was the case, so then even the reisha where it says that the figs are okay, so why don't we say that that also has a certain look to it, and that you're not allowed to take it because the person, the owner, assumes that it's still considered his. So says the Gemara, Amar Papa Hatenim Nefilas and Masif. No, the fig gets disgusting when it falls, as opposed to the olive and the carob, which doesn't get disgusting. So Tashima, another situation. Haganim Shnatam Yizevenas Mozeh. A thief that steals a ganim, specifically one that does so out of sight, and gives it to someone else. V'chein gaz shnatzon zeh minasun lezeh. And so to a gazlin, it does the same thing. V'chein yardein shnatal mizeh. Is that the actual river? Sweeps away someone's property or something. Minasun lezeh, and then I guess it
deposits it somewhere
else. Right. It flows down the river, and then, you know, I don't know, the river dries up, or it puts it somewhere else. Ma shnatal meaning that the person who ultimately gets it is zocha, and they don't have to give it back. You can assume yeyosh in that case. Bish lama gazam diyardein dekachazil hu miayesh el ganav mikachazil demiayesh. Right, when it comes to a gazlan or it comes to the river, you can see what's happening. You can see the actual item being taken and given somewhere else. So therefore, we can assume that's yeyosh midas. The person knows that he lost his item. But when it comes to the ganav, he never even saw it. And presumably, that should not be, according to Abaye, that should not be kona. That shouldn't be good enough. Because according to Abaye, yeyosh midas is not kona. So Tirgum Rav Papa, Belista Mizuyin. What are we talking about when we say ganav? What we mean really is a thief who is armed. Why is that not a ganav? Why is that not a gazlan case? So ihachi hainu gazlan. Yeah, good. So you can keep reading. Why isn't that the same as a gazlan? So says the Gemara, trey gavne gazlan. Two types of gazlan. One who just comes and takes something in front of you, and one who just takes something because he's got a gun. I don't know. I don't know why that's called the gazlan, but okay. Tashima shatzaf nar korav eitzav avanav. If a river sweeps away someone's, is this beams or walls?
It says beams.
Beams. wood or stones. So this is actually a question by implication on Rava. Rava, who believes Yesh Lomidas is Kone. So then why is it saying here that only when it's Nitzyashu HaBalim is it a situation where the other person gets to keep it? So that's a case, we can interpret that case as being a case where it was possible to go get it. So what about the end of the braisa, which says im hayo ba'alim rad from achrim, if they're chasing after it, chayav l'hachzir, you have to give it back. So ibi chon lahatzil, my iriam radfin, if they could have saved it, so what do you mean meradfin, chasing after it? I thought you said you could save it. I feel in meradfin ami, even if they're not chasing it also, they're not misyayish. Because they could go get it the next day. Okay, I didn't see that version coming. So they could save it with a little effort if they would chase after it. So meradfin, if they're chasing after, they're showing some effort. So then lo yayish, iush, in meradfin iushe miyayish. So if they're chasing after, then it's clear and obvious that they do not give up on it. So tashema ketzar amra torim shalomidas truma so truma. When do we say that a person who takes tithes without the knowledge of the owner, it still works? Okay. He goes to his friend's field and collects. V'tarim shalom birshus. Im choshesh mishum gazel. Ein truma so truma. V'im lav truma so truma. What does it mean, choshesh mishum gazel? If the owner would be suspicious? Like someone going into his field, trying to do him a solid. You know this guy is not going to get around to doing his truma for whatever reason, and he's trying to do him a solid, but the owner thinks he's stealing it. Is that what we're talking about? So if the owner thinks he's stealing it, so then the truma doesn't work. But if the owner, you know, lets him do it, so then it does work. So uminayinhu, yodea im choshesh mishum gezel v'im lav. How are we going to know if the owner is suspicious of his gezela? Take the nicer ones. If there are nicer ones, meaning when that when the owner said that he was being honest and wanted him to actually, he wanted to actually do the truma, but from nicer ones, so then we believe him that that's what he really meant to say. V'imlav, if however there weren't nicer ones, so then ain truma so truma, because presumably the owner was trying to get him to move away or something. I guess it was like the owner says the phrase, go take from the nicer ones. And we don't know what he means, but does he literally mean, like, I want you to take my truma for me? Or is it like sarcasm or facetiousness? Yeah. Well, I want you to take from the nicer ones if you're, exactly, right. I want you to go take from the better ones. Yeah, okay. I mean, that's an interesting barometer to figure out whether or not.
On multiple occasions, consider sarcasm.
Yeah, that is true. It's good. You know, sometimes you find these, There's a famous case of that with Rashi when Mayu Chalom Osav, the brothers say to Yosef, or they say about Yosef when he's coming, let's kill him. Then we'll see what's going to happen with his dreams. And Rashi's like, what do they mean by that? And Rashi tries to explain it as a real question. But what they mean is, we're going to kill him, and then obviously his dreams are going to come true, but it's sarcasm. Anyway, so yeah, sometimes they pick up on sometimes. So here they're saying, I think that's what it's saying. It doesn't say that explicitly, but v'im lav, if there aren't nicer ones, but the owner said, why don't you take from the nicer ones? So then, ain't your muscle druma.
Then
we assume it's sarcasm, which is an interesting point. I would say the inflection might also give it away, but I guess you don't always hear it well. So liktu habal. So now we're just going to continue the rice. We haven't proven anything yet. Liktu habal and bosifo aleim. If the owners come along and add more to the truma,
you know, truma, the owner.
Ben kulach like the truma.
The owner gets to decide how much truma he gives.
It's a fluid measurement. Yeah.
And so, how can somebody else come in and decide for him?
Yeah, I don't know exactly what's going on. I mean, I'm picturing in my mind that we're talking about like an elderly man who maybe can't move so well. Somebody comes in, he doesn't know him so well. Maybe it's the son of his good friend who, you know, whatever. And it's not clear and obvious what the person is doing. And then the old man, you know, gets off his porch and says, actually, I want to do some of it myself too. So then he comes and he adds a little bit to it. So the Bryce is saying, if he comes and adds to the pile, so then clearly he's okay with it being truma. So now the Gemara is going to ask, v'chi nimtzu yafos mehen, if there are nicer ones, v'chi nimtzu yafos mehen trumaso truma, amai, be'idna detaram halo havayada. At the moment where the guy was doing the truma, the owners didn't know about it. Is that true? And therefore, Yeush also. I guess we're trying to ask Trumas to Truma. We're looking at the situation after the fact, right? So the guy comes, takes Truma off of his produce, and then we know that the guy had said to him, "Why don't you take from the nicer ones?" So now we later on are coming and saying, "Well, what happened here? Is this really Truma? This pile that this thief just made, or this potential thief just made, is it really Truma?" And we are retroactively. We are retroactively determining that. So I guess we're saying it here that also according to who's which I just forgot. According to Abaye, who says Lokon that it's not Yeush, right? Am I getting them mixed up? According to the one who says it's not Yeush, according to the one that says it is Yeush, we are willing to make a retroactive designation. I think that's what we're saying. It's almost like a Brera question. But hold on. Oh, it's the top of the daf. Yeah. Abai Amar lo havi Yeush. Rav is the one who says that retroactively you say. So Tirgma Rava Ali B'Dabai the Shavya Shliach. So this is, I remember this Gemara. I was once learning this Gemara, and I was trying to figure it out. You know, it was like early on in my yeshiva days. Maybe not so early on, but I was trying to figure it out. And it says, Tirgma Rava Ali B'Dabai, and I remember I was trying to learn the Gemara without any English help. I couldn't figure out what this line meant, because what does it mean, Rava was explaining something for Abaye. Rava is the one that's arguing with Abaye. Why would Rava ever explain something for his opposition? You know, you wouldn't do that as a lawyer. Why would you ever do them any favors? And then I looked in the article and it said, yeah, Rava was being honest. He was just being intellectually honest. And he realized that, like, yeah, I could use this as some kind of disproof, but the truth is, we can explain it for Abaye, my counterpart who's arguing against me, who says that you can't retroactively designate something. Abaye could explain, you know, to my chagrin, he could explain that this braise is actually talking about the Shavye Shliach. We're not talking about a case where it was just done without any knowledge. It was a case where the owner had actually, you know, had appointed this person, and we're trying to figure out whether he appointed him. And now we're saying that we can rely on the revelation that he had said to him, why don't you take from there, as the fact that he was actually Shavya Shliach when he said that. Okay, interesting. Always good to remember that the Amoraim argue with each other, but they're all L'shem Shemayim and trying to figure out the truth and not beat their opponents. We're going to say that he hadn't appointed him as a Shliach. Mi havi Truma so Truma. Why would you ever think that Truma works? Just like Truma has to be done with your knowledge, so too, when it comes to the Shliach, it has to be done with their knowledge. He's when he said to him, go and take truma, velo amar, lay truma han. He never said from where he should take truma. Ustami de balabayas, and from the lack of clarification from the owner, kitarmi ben mi benonis hutarim. When he went to take truma, he took it from the middle, not the best, not the worst. Ve'azal ihu v'tarmi yafos. And then he went and took from the yafos. I guess the owner. Uba balabayas umitzel v'amar le klach etzel yafos. I don't know what this first line means. The azal ihu. Ihu, I guess, is the shliach. Meaning from the fact that the owner didn't specify what he wants to take, he presumably should take from the middle. But then this guy took from the best. You had to bring from the better.
If there are better.
Still better, even better than what he had gone and taken. So then trumasa truma. Because clearly it was fine. Clearly he was okay with the yafos being taken. Vim lav, and if there aren't any better, so an ain't trumas or truma, because what he means is, why don't you take it from even better ones?
So
he didn't want to take from the good ones, he wanted from the bane.
There's circumstance here where it's not valid. Does the taker get to keep it?
I don't know if we would consider him a goslin. I think we're just saying the truma wouldn't work.
Well, he knows about it now. And does the
I don't think
about
so.
It, so
if he was really, establishing him as a shliach, so then I don't think he would be stealing it.
If he's a shliach, then it's valid. If he's a shliach, then it's valid truma.
Only if he did what the Baal HaBayis wanted. We don't know if he did or not.
Well,
here it sounds like he took too much.
Wanted, then he's not a valid shliach, I think.
Right, but he has to give it back. He wouldn't be allowed to keep it. He can't just take it because he
cut. It's taken already.
Right, that could be. I don't know.
But then the Baal HaBayis is stuck still.
He has to take truma still. Yeah. Amemar Marzitra Rav Ashi Iklolibustana Demari Bar Isak. So Amemar Marzutra and Rav Ashi went to Bustina. Is that a place like Boston? The orchard. All right, I was hoping it was a call place. De Mari Bar Isak, the orchard of Mari Bar Isak. I see Arise Tamre Verimone and his sharecropper brought him dates and pomegranates. Ushta Kamayo, and he put them in front of him. Sometimes Shadda means throw. Amemar Verav Ashi Achli. Amemar and Rav Ashi ate from them. Marzutra lo achel. Marzutra did not eat. Adahachi asa Mari Bar Isak. Mari Bar Isak came Ashkachinhu. Va'amar lei la'arise, and then he said to his sharecropper, "Amai lo aisi lehul rabbanu mehanach shapirasa. Why did you not bring these chachamim the fruit that are even better?" Marzutra still wasn't eating. Amru lei ameimar v'rav ash lemarzutra hashta amai lo achil mar. Now you're still not eating. Why? Clearly. Mari Bar Asik is following the Brais of Tanya. If there are nicer ones, so then clearly Mari Zutra wasn't eating on the assumption that the truma wasn't valid, and now it's clear that the truma was valid because there were nicer ones, right? That's how Mari Bar Asik said it. Amar lehu hachi amar Rava lo amru kolachi tzoyafos el inin truma bovad. The only time that we will use, the better than this fruit litmus test is only when it comes to truma, because people want to give nicer fruit for truma. Avalacha, in this case, it's not. We're not doing any mitzvah by doing this. That's a good question. I was wondering that also. I think hatas zorcha might be for non-friends, not for friends. But okay, mishum ksifusa hu da'amar hachi. It's because he doesn't want to embarrass the sharecropper and retroactively consider this like theft. Maybe that's why he's saying this, but really he doesn't want to give up the fruit. I have a note here from the Chachmas Manoach that says, from we here learn that it's prohibited to accept a gift from someone who's giving it out of embarrassment or shame, and it could be theft. Interesting. If you've got, someone who's being cajoled into giving to some tzedakah campaign. So unclear if that's really okay. I don't know. The Gemara says, based on another pasuk, when it comes to Tumas Ochlin, this should be fun. The only time that food becomes Tameh is when the owner wanted it to have that liquid be machsherit. Okay. Tashima, odehu hatal alehem. If the dew is still on the fruit, v'samach, hare zeh b'chiyutan. I guess the owner wanted the water to be on the fruit. I guess that's a helpful thing. So then it is machshir l'tumah. Right, that's what it means. Chiyutan is when the pasuk in Vayikra, I guess in a couple of parshios from now, it says that it would become tameh. Nigvu, if they are dried out, af al pisha samach, even if you would want it, einan b'chiyutan. I don't really understand the difference there. I guess if it's not, if it was wet to your knowledge, if the dew was on the fruit and you knew about it, so then it's hukshe l'tuma. But if it was something you wanted but you never saw it, so then maybe let's go with that for now. Tamamai, what's the reason that he is still happy about it after they're dried out, and it's nonetheless still not mukshe l'tuma? La mishum delo amrin on kevin diiglay milsa dahash nichalei meikar nami nichalei. Is it not because of the concept that even though now we can retroactively assume it was wet before and he was happy about that, we don't assume that that was like midas or something like that. And so too, when it comes to yayush, we can't retroactively assume that it was midas, something like that. So that's a question on Rava. Meaning that the pasuk says specifically, the letters spell out ki yitain, even though that's not how you pronounce it. But we darshan from there that it has to be active current knowledge, not retroactive. So it says, what about the beginning of it, where it says that he's happy about it? So maybe that also shouldn't be mukhshar l'tuma, because the rain was against his will? I don't know. Hasam kidir of papa, I guess ki tain were darshanic, you are the one that literally does it actively, as opposed to it happening against your will. So hasam kidir of papa, ramik siv ki tain, kreen ki utan, haket b'inan ki utan, dumid ki tain, ma yitain lidas, af ki utan nami lidas. The drasha really isn't that you're actively the one that put the liquid on the fruit, but it means instead that you're the one that's aware of it. Okay. Tashema, Tam Rabbi Yochanan, Mishum Rabbi Yishmael ben Yehotada, K'minayin La'aveda Shashat V'Nahara Shimutaras. How do you know that something that's lost, that was swept away by the river, is mutter, meaning that you can assume that it was Yayush? D'chzi v'chein tasel chamra v'chein tasel simusol v'chein tasel chovias shetovad v'menu v'atzasa. Pasuk in Devarim kiseitza yasum, although I think there's a similar one in Mishpatim, maybe I'm wrong. Mi sha'avuda himanu mitzuya, I might be thinking of pre-Gantina, about reloading or unloading a donkey. Shavud himenu mitzuya etzel kol adam. What is that case? The case is where something was lost from everyone. From anyone. But it could be found. I don't know why we're darshaning that. But yata sa zu shavuda mimenu ve'ena mitzuya etzel kol adam. I guess it's accessible by anyone. But the word mimenu, tovad mimenu, means it is lost from him, but anyone can now take it. As opposed to this, where it's lost from the owner, but it's not mitsuya etzel kol adam. I don't get it. In this case, the reason why you have to give it back is because somebody could find it. As opposed to this case, where the river swept it away, nobody could find it. I guess for that moment, nobody could find it. And therefore, it's not obligated to be returned. So it says in Rabbi Yisura Dumi de Hetera. Ma Hetera, when it comes to something which is allowed to be kept, Bein de Ispa Simen, u Bein de Leispa Simen, it doesn't matter if it has an indicating sign, special quality to it. We can recognize the owner. Doesn't matter. Nonetheless, shara, it's allowed. Afi sura, so too when it comes to a lost item which is not allowed to be kept. Bein de isbe simen, bein de leisba simen, asura. Whether it's recognizably the owner's or not, it's still going to be usur. Even in a case where it has no simen, but we don't know if the baal had yeush or something like that. Meaning all the meanwhile where it doesn't, if the person is not miyayish, even though it doesn't have a simen, we assume that you're not allowed to take it. It's an interesting drasha. Meaning this brisa effectively says that what does and what does not effectuate yeush has nothing to do with our assumed recognition of the item. It has everything to do with the accessibility of the item. Meaning, if it's accessible, we assume the person doesn't have yeush. We don't know if he did or not, but we assume he doesn't because it's accessible. And therefore, that's a proof to Abaye that yeush shelo midas lo havi yeush. It's not kona because we have to assume he did not have yeush. And from here we say, of all of the proofs that we've brought thus far, from here we say, tiyufta derava tiyufta. Rava is disproved, and we hold yeush shelo midas lo havi yeush. We cannot assume that a person had yeush, like Rava does. And I believe this is one of the Yal Kagam, no? It would pass like a bay over Rava. Right, you know Yal Kagam? Oh, here it is. The Hilchos HaKvasa D'Abaye be Yal Kagam.
And I just have a note that we can find it in Sanhedrin.
Oh yeah, no, it's in six different places. Yal Kagam are the six different letters that represent the six times we pass like a baye as opposed to Rava. We always pass like Rava except for these six cases. The first of them is the Yud, Yaal Kagam, which is Yeo Shalomidas.
Where do we originally have the explanation of these?
I don't know. Rashi talks about it almost, I think, usually on every spot. Maybe not here. I don't know. Yeah, Rashi has it here. We've seen it already, I thought.
Did we?
We had it in Erevin. Lech Ya'omen Me'elav. Yeah. And Kiddushin. Kiddushin Shalom Surabia. Right. That you're still betrothed even though you can't have intercourse. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And Gittin Gilei Da'at Begita. Yeah, we've had it a couple times. So now that we have effectively disproven Rava, so then what about that date case that the leftover dates that the wind blew off?
Left the tree.
How can you eat them? Because we have to assume they didn't have yayosh. So Armalei cave into ika shkatzim remasim to kaachli lehu meikar yayosh miyayosh minayu. Whenever the dates come off the tree, we're going to assume the insects are going to get to it, and people don't want to eat them, and they're already yayosh. They already have yayosh. Yasmi delavne mechilinin humai. What about young orphans that aren't bnei das, and therefore they can't have yayosh? So how can you eat their fruit? Armalei baga. Ba'arad yasmilo mechazkinan. I don't know what that means.
I think it means you can generally assume that it's not the property of, if you find something.
Oh, maybe
like
it belongs to a little kid? No, it's not going to belong to a little kid.
So it
says in Muchzak v'omed mai. What if we know it belongs to a little kid? Krachta mai. Muchzak v'omed mai, krachta mai. And also palm trees that are surrounded by a fence. And I guess are not prone to having insects that's in Amalei Asiran. Yeah, in that case, you would not be allowed to eat them. Okay, there you go. Okay, fascinating Gemara. Krichos Birshus Harabim Harei L'Shalo. What was this again? If they're bundled up in Birshus Harabim, so then they belong to the Malve. Amarabba Vavil Vadavar Sheesh Vashimen. Simon, even our Mishnah is even talking about a case where it has a simon. Hare Elu Shalom. Oh, Hare Elu Shalom means the person who finds them can keep them, I think, right? Alma Kasavaraba Simina Solidaris, that a item which has a simen but would have gotten ruined, lo have a simen. Simen ha-solidares lo have a simen.
That's harsh. Everything, as long as you can recognize it, it should be valid. Note that the owner does not depend on the mark in such a case, and he gives
because they have, right. What does a simen do? A simen effectively retains a person's hope. Because, oh, I can get that item back. I'll just tell him it's got a hole in the bottom left corner, and I'll be able to prove it. But if he lost it in a marketplace, and there were, you know, tens of thousands of people walking through, it's okay, it doesn't matter that I had a simen on it. That thing's not going to retain it, whatever. Reva Amar lo shanu ela b'davar she'en bo simen. Aval b'davar she'esh bo simen chayv l'hakris. If it has a simen, still, even after it's been trampled, or after it could have been trampled, but if the simen's still there, you still have to announce it that you found it. Amak Zav Reva, simen ha'solidaris havi simen. Even if it could have been trampled on, it's still a good enough simen to avoid yeish, assumed yeish. Some people say just generally. Simen ha'solidaris rabba amar lo havi simen, rabba amar havi simen. Tina on the Mishnah says, Shkriyach Zbishas Rabba Harei El Shalom. Birshas Hayachid, notol machris. If you find this bundle of documents in a public domain, so then
documents
wasn't it
sheaves?
Oh, okay. Maybe we switched over to sheaves. I don't remember the Mishnah so well that we're talking about sheaves of wheat, I guess. So then, if it's in a public domain, you are allowed to keep it. If it's in a private domain, you have to, you know, declare, hey, did anyone lose this? Hey, then what's case? Delays simin. If there's no simin, b'shus yachamai machris. Then why is he? If there's no simin, so then he gets to keep it. There's yeish there. There's no hope that the owner has to get it back. It's in somebody else's property. There's no simin. So then, so why is he? Why is he declaring it? El alav de isbu simin. There must be a simin. Vikatani, and nonetheless it says, b'shus harav harei elishel. He's allowed to keep it. Alma simin hasli darisol havi simin. Tuftu dereva. Dereva is having a tough day because now we have another brisa which is effectively saying that even if it's in public domain and it had a simin, so then you can still keep it yourself. So Amalach Rav, no. La'olam delays b'simin. That's a case where there was no simin. Utzka Amar b'shtas ha'yachid. And when you said there's no simin, and nonetheless, you have to make a declaration when you found it in a private domain. Why? Is that my machris? Machris makom. You don't say, this is what I found. Whose is it? You say, something was found here, and the person has to prove it to you. V'rabba Amar makom lo have simin. And Rava says, oh, I guess because the makom is effectively a simen, you know, if the person knew he lost it there. And Rava says, no, you know, you can't assume that the place is itself a simen, that the person's going to think to themselves, oh, I remember I left it in so-and-so's house, and therefore I'm not going to give up hope on it. D'itmar, makom Rava amar lo have a simen, Rava amar have a simen. Okay, good. Shkaich tashema, krichos b'shus rab harei l'shelo, b'shus yachanot al-machet, ha'alumos, those are bigger stalks or something like that. You always declare. Rabba, heichim taritzla. How can Rabba explain this? Rabba heichim taritzla. Rabba taritzla tamei b'simin. Rabba is going to explain there was some kind of simin. Rabba taritzla tamei that b'makom, he's going to declare the place. Rabba taritzla tamei b'simin krichos b'shus rabba lahare elishalo mishum dimidarsa, because it was trampled on, because it's in Risha Sarabim. Therefore, he can keep it. Mishum dimidarsa. Risha Sayach notol machris de lomidarsa. And in the private domain, he has to still announce it because it wasn't trampled. Vaha alumos, bim Risha Sarabim, bim Risha Sayach notol machris kevin de gevihan lomidarsi. Because they're so much bigger, so then they're not going to be trampled. Vramitarsa ame, bim makom, kurikos, Risha Sarabim, hera elisho, diminashtifa. Because they will be kicked around in different places, and therefore you can't. There's no simon there. Because it's in the same place, and therefore you can announce the place to get the person to find it again. Because they're heavier, they're not going to be kicked around. They're not going to be actually trampled, and therefore you can still declare it, and that would be like a simon about where it is. Okay, shkach.